Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. As I stated earlier, we're glad to have each one of you, and especially those of you who are visiting with us. It shows that you want to serve the Lord when you're away from home. Go to a place, maybe you don't know everybody there, but you want to worship God. You ought to be commended for that. We're glad that you're here. When we think about Jesus Christ, and we think a lot about Jesus Christ. In fact, we've sung about Jesus Christ this morning. We've remembered the Lord's death until He comes again. There are a lot of things that are said about Jesus Christ, and I want to talk about some of those this morning. We're going to talk about this particular subject this morning, who killed or who murdered Jesus. A lot of suggestions about that. A lot of things are said about that. You know, a few years ago, the Jews really did press the public, and especially the media, to quit calling them the killer of Jesus. They said, we're not responsible for that. Well, they didn't tell us who was responsible for that, but they didn't want people to accuse them of doing that. Well, there are others sometimes that find other avenues to suggest who killed Jesus. Who killed Jesus? Just recently, I read an article where a preacher was saying God killed Jesus. In fact, this is exactly what he said. He said, God killed Jesus to kill what was killing us. And I heard another preacher, who quoted this and said, wow, what a wonderful thought. Well, I would suggest to you that the statement itself is false. God did not kill Jesus. And when this was discussed for a little bit of time with these various people who were saying that, they finally said, well, we know we didn't, but that was God's plan. Well, because it was God's plan does not mean that God perpetrated the act. And that's what that statement suggested, that God killed Jesus. God murdered Jesus. And be aware of the fact that the word kill many times in the Old Testament carries with it the idea of murder. Like the expression, thou shalt not kill, means thou shalt not murder. And so the suggestion is that God murdered His own Son. And I want you to think about a statement like that. It comes from some of the statements that people misuse in Isaiah the 53rd chapter. In Isaiah 53, most of you probably are pretty well aware of it, Isaiah 53, because that's the very chapter that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip entered in the chariot and began to preach unto him Jesus. In that chapter, Isaiah is prophesying what's going to take place. And in that chapter, he talks about Jesus Christ in the future, and he said he was born for our griefs, and he carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken by God. And people have taken that to mean, well, God literally killed Jesus. And we'll go ahead and read some of the things that others says, and he was afflicted, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It pleased God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, obviously, it is true that it was the plan of God that his Son should come to this earth and die on the cross. But that's a lot different from saying that God killed him literally himself. God's plan was that man should be saved, and the only way that man could be saved is through sacrifice. There had to be a blood sacrifice. The reason I know that is because the Hebrew writer makes that very clear in chapter 9, chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. He says, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. In the Old Testament, the blood that was shed was the blood of bulls and goats. But in chapter 10, the Hebrew writer said it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And he points out the fact is that if it had been true that sin would be taken away by the blood of bulls and goats, then those who gave those sacrifices, they would have no longer had a consciousness of their sins, that is, guilt of their sins. But since the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, it required something else. And that's why Jesus Christ was sent to this earth. Actually, Jesus Christ himself accepted this plan of God. He accepted it by coming to this earth. One of the passages that all of us can quote is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're told that Jesus Christ acquiesced in that because he came to seek and save that which was lost. He says that himself. Jesus Christ says that. In Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus Christ speaks of the fact that it was the Father's will that he should come. And he asked the question to the Lord. He beseeches the Lord on this particular occasion. He said, "Will you take this cup away from me?" The cup that he's talking about is the death he was going to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. Maybe even stronger than that, the fact that he was going to take upon himself the sins in his own body on the tree, or as the Apostle Paul said, him that knew no sin was made to be sin. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ, as he speaks about this, he said, "Will you take this cup from me? If it's your will, please take this cup away from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So Jesus Christ acquiesced in this. It's not as if God just sent him and tied him up and said, "I'm going to kill you whether you want to die or not." But God sent his Son to die on the cross. And we're told that Jesus Christ counted not a being on equality with God to be grasped. He didn't count it that necessary, but he emptied himself. That is, he'd emptied himself of heaven, and he came to this earth, and he was found in fashion of man and humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. So when we think about, we could blame God, I suppose, and that's what this preacher was doing. He was blaming God for it. Because it is true that God, by his determinate and counsel and foreknowledge, he sent his Son to die on the cross. But the Bible nowhere says that God murdered his Son, folks. Nowhere does it say that. Well, if that's not the case, then who could it possibly have been? Well, some people say that Satan was the one who murdered Jesus. And I can see where that thought might come in, because Satan is, the great Satan is the tempter of mankind. He certainly is the one who tempts man to sin. That's what he does. And way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3 and verse 15, the prophecy was, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And that's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. He shall bruise. He's going to do that. Obviously, Satan was directly involved in this. He's the one who tempted the Jews, or tempted those who crucified Christ, to crucify the Lord. He's the tempter. He's the great tempter. But also, the Bible says that he was a murderer from the beginning in John 8, verse 44. So Satan is a murderer. And in a sense, he murdered the human race way back in the book of Genesis in chapter 2, when Eve ate of that fruit she was not supposed to eat of, or that tree that she was not supposed to eat of. And Adam came along and he ate with her, and so that sin passed to all men, and all men die. That's what the Apostle Paul argues in the book of Romans. So I guess we could say that Satan murdered Jesus in that sense. But specifically and literally, Satan did not murder Jesus, did he? The Bible nowhere says that Satan did that, although he's a murderer. Well, if that's not the case then, what about the fact that we read about Judas Iscariot? Judas is the one who sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and had he not sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, had he not pointed out to the Roman soldiers who this was, had he not been guilty of that, maybe Jesus would not have been crucified. And so maybe he's the one who's guilty. Maybe he's the one who murdered the Lord. In Psalm 41 and verse 9, David wrote, "Even mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, he's lifted up his heel against me." Well, that's a prophecy concerning Satan. That's a prophecy concerning Satan. It's also a prophecy concerning Judas, and particularly Judas. Because Judas is the one who was numbered among the 12, we're told in Luke 22, verses 3 through 4. He was numbered among the 12, and he went his way, and he conferred with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him to them, how he might betray Christ to them. So I guess in a sense we could say that Judas is the one who murdered Jesus, because he took this 30 pieces of silver so he could betray the Lord. In Zechariah 11 verse 12, another prophecy, Zechariah wrote, "I said to them, if it's agreeable to you, give me my wages." So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Now, folks, this is a prophecy. Prophecy is simply history written in advance. And sometimes when you talk about Judas, people will say, well, he didn't have a choice. He just had to do this. He couldn't have decided otherwise. That's not true. I know he could have decided otherwise, because later on, after he'd done this and he came to himself, he goes back to these leaders of the Jews and wants them to take the money back. We read about that. He knew he made a bad choice. He knew what he did. He said, I have shed innocent blood. That's what he said. So he had choices. But the prophecy is that someone would do that. Why did Judas do it? Because he fit the picture of the prophecy. When we read the Bible, like Romans 6, verse 23, I want you to think about something. The wages of sin is death. If I live in sin, I'm going to die. Do I have a choice? Of course I have a choice. I don't have to sin. John wrote in 1 John, he said, we ought not to sin. And he talked about the child of God does not sin. In other words, the tenor of his life is not to sin. He makes the right choice. People have always had a choice. Back in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 24, when Joshua was old and hoary-headed, and he's standing before the children of Israel and gives the last charge he's going to give to Israel before he dies, he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell or the gods of the fathers, but as for me and my house, we will choose or serve Jehovah. He made the right choice and he said, my house, I'm going to, and my house is going to serve Jehovah. In Matthew 26 and verse 15, the prophecy concerning the one who was going to betray Jesus is fulfilled. Judas, of course, is carried as the one who does this, but he says, he's talking to these leaders of the Jews and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? This is Matthew 26 and verse 15. What are you willing to give me? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So I guess we could say Judas had something to do. Well, of course he had something to do with it. But is he the one who murdered Jesus? Well, some say that he's the one, and the responsibility lies on him and on no one else or on anything else. Well, is that really true? Think about some people say even that sin killed Jesus. And all of us would probably, if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, we understand his death, we would say sin had something to do with it. And in a figurative sense, if we made sin as if they're a human being, as if they're someone, I guess we could say sin had something to do with it and sin did it. But does the Bible say that? Although sin certainly is involved in Romans 5 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul is right and said, through one man sin entered the world and death came through sin. Well, Jesus died, so I guess he was a sinner. No. Jesus didn't die because he was a sinner. He wasn't murdered because he was a sinner. Sin itself did not murder Jesus. And the reason I know that, he was tempted in every point like as we are, yet he was without sin, the Hebrew writer says. And yet the Apostle Paul said he was made to be sin. Him who knew no sin. Think about it. He knew no sin, but he was made to be sin on our behalf. That's what Paul said. And the Apostle Peter says in one of the books that bears his name, he said he took our sins in his body on the tree. So I guess from that we could extrapolate this idea that while he was on the tree, while he was there hanging on the cross, and while he's being crucified, God turned his face from him because God doesn't hear a sinner. Even that's taught way back in the Old Testament. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Maybe that's the thought when Jesus Christ on the cross cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Maybe it's to make us realize what sin does. And I guess in that sense we could say sin had something to do with it. But did sin itself come down and sin literally murder Jesus Christ? Well, he was murdered because of sin. There's no question about that. In Romans 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, sin reigned in death. So sin has something to do with death. In Romans 6 and verse 16, we're told, do you not know that whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. So if you become a slave of sin, it leads to death. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. In Romans 7 and verse 1, literally it said, sin killed me. Paul's talking about himself. Before he knew Jesus, he said, sin killed me because I didn't do what I knew to. I didn't do what I wanted to do. Sin killed me, he said. So in a sense, I guess we can say that sin murdered Jesus. It did. But is he the one that the Bible holds responsible for that? Well, let's look at something else. Maybe it's so that we killed Jesus. Maybe we murdered Jesus. One of the songs sometimes in the song book that we use, that we sing from time to time, actually suggests that, doesn't it? If you've got your song book, if you'll turn to number 549, you'll see that's the very case. And sometimes people sing this song. I hear it everywhere I go, whole meetings, I hear it all the time. As people sing this song, and what they're doing is suggesting that they did it or they're doing it now. That's what they say sometimes when they sing this particular song. This song that I'm the one, that's what they say sometimes. I'm the one. I did this. Have I got the wrong number? I think I have. You'll have to look it up. I've got the wrong number. It's not 549 in your book. Let me see if I can find it real quick here so you can look at it yourself. I'd like for you to look at it rather than me as he talks about this. Let's see. Somebody tell me the number real quick. Have you found it? It's called I'm the One. What? 604. Okay, thank you. Turn with me to that and you'll see that this is the thing that people sing. Have you ever thought about that when you sing this? Sing this particular song, that you're actually accusing yourself of murdering Christ. And that's what some people say. They say, we did it. That's what they say. In this song, I was not in the garden when he knelt to God and prayed. I did not kiss him on the cheek when Jesus was betrayed. I could not do a single thing to hurt God's only Son. But every time I sin on earth, I feel that I'm the one. You see? So I'm the one because I sin from time to time, and we do from time to time, not that we want to, and the tenor of our life is not to do that, but sometimes we do. So the song says, I'm the one. You ever sing that song? That's what some people say. I'm the one that murdered Christ. Look back on their life, and because of my sin, Christ was murdered. Well, I guess there's a sense in which that could possibly be true. If that could be the case. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, if you turn back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking, he said, each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Well, that's right. Jesus Christ died for what? For our iniquity, our lawlessness, our sins. There's no question about that. We agree with that. That's certainly true. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, we're told Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Who did he suffer for? For us in the flesh. In Romans 5 verses 6 and 8, the apostle said Christ died for the ungodly. He went further than that. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I guess when we sing that song, we could say, well, I'm just as guilty as they were back then, the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. Because I sing that song and I'm indicting myself. So some people say, we did it. We caused it. We did it. We murdered the Lord. Pretty strong language, isn't it? In Hebrews 6 and verse 6, we're told it's impossible to renew to repentance those that fall away, seeing that they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. So it's possible even today to crucify the Lord. It's possible if we turn away from the Lord. It's possible we can go so far away from the Lord, commit so many sins, become so hardened to sin that we are willing to crucify the Lord again. So I guess in one sense, I guess we could say we murdered Jesus too. Are you willing to say that about yourself as you know who Jesus is? Well, if that's not really the specific of who murdered Jesus, then who did? Well, maybe Jesus murdered himself. Maybe he killed or murdered himself. Maybe he committed suicide. Maybe that's what Jesus did. In John 12 and verse 27, Jesus speaking, he says, "My soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." I mentioned this a while ago. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth was to save you and me. It wasn't for him to kill himself, but he had to die. Because we had to have a perfect sacrifice. And if you want to read more about that, read Hebrews 10. He died once for all. One sacrifice. Doesn't have to be offered again like they offered bulls and goats that could never take away sin. In Mark 10 and verse 45, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life." Listen to this. "A ransom for many." That was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming. So did he commit suicide? Did he murder himself? In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul's writing, Timothy said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he said, I'm foremost among them all. I'm the chief of sinners," he said. "He came to save me." In 1 John 3 and verse 5, John said, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sin." He's a ransom for us. He died to take away sin. In Hebrews 9 verses 26 and 28, "He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He sacrificed himself. Did he commit suicide? "Having been offered once to bear the sins of many." He was offered once to bear the sins of many. In Philippians 2 verses 6 through 8, and that's the passage we were talking about a while ago, "He existed in the form of God." Here he is in heaven existing in the form of God. "But he counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, even the death of the cross." But did he commit suicide? No. He died for our sins. But he didn't commit suicide. He didn't murder himself, folks. Well, if all of what we talked about already, if none of those people or none of those things did it, actually, who murdered Jesus? Well, let's let the Bible answer that question. Did the Jews? Who really killed Jesus? How do we really know who killed Jesus? The Bible tells us, the Bible says the Jews murdered Jesus. Look with me at some passages. In Acts 2, verses 22 through 23, the Apostle Peter speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep in mind, in Acts 2, beginning with verse 1, we're told that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So when Peter's speaking here and the rest of the apostles, and we don't have their speech, but we do have Peter's speech recorded. When Peter speaks here, he's speaking as the Holy Spirit gives him utterance, gives him the revelation. So we've got God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Peter. And what does he say? "Men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this is so," he said. "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, and you have crucified him, and you have put him to death." Who do you say murdered Jesus? The Jews. Now they can say they didn't all they want to, but they did. Maybe they wish they hadn't. And I know that's the case because when they were convicted that they had murdered Jesus Christ, they said, "What can we do about this?" If it's true, folks, that God murdered Jesus, that God killed his own son, that he's explicitly responsible for the death of his son, and he murdered his own son, then why on earth did not Peter, when they asked him, "Men and brethren, what may we do?" Why didn't he say, "Folks, it's not your fault"? Have you ever heard that today? When people do things, people say, "It's not your fault." Never anybody's fault. He could have said, "It's not your fault because God did this. He just used you to do it." But that's not what Peter said. He said, "You by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made them both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you killed, whom you crucified." And why did he say that? Because the Jews earlier, when they were given an opportunity to turn loose a murderer, when Pilate, who was the governor at the time, who had the authority to turn loose any criminal, he said, I have found nothing wrong with you. I found nothing to charge him with. He's not guilty of anything. Talking about Jesus. And they said, no, don't turn him loose. You turn loose the murderer. They said, crucify him. So folks, who does the Bible say killed Jesus? Literally killed Jesus. It was the Jews. You by the hand of lawless men to crucify and slay. I guess we could say, well, it wasn't them. It was really the Romans. Because they used the Romans. You see, they couldn't put anybody to death. They had to use the Roman government. But it was the Jews who said, crucify. We want you to crucify. Let a murderer go so we can crucify Jesus. That's what they said. And they put him to death. And that's what the Apostle Peter says. But it's not just Peter's saying. It's not just his opinion. Not just what he thinks about things. It's what the Holy Spirit said that they did in Acts 2. Again, in Acts, the third chapter, Peter speaking to another group of people in Jerusalem. And this time he says, beginning with verse 13, he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the God of our father glorified his servant, Jesus. Listen to this. Whom you delivered up, whom you denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Jesus go. But you denied the Holy One. Look at this. You did this. You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, he says, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. In Acts 10 and verse 39, again, we're told we are witnesses of these things. Here's the Apostle Peter, here's Cornelius, here's the household of Cornelius, here are those who are children of God. And they said, we are witnesses of the thing, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed. Who did it? The Jews in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. So here's the cross. Who put Jesus Christ on the cross? Well, really, literally, it was the Jews. They used the hands of the Romans, but they're the ones that did it. You know why I know it? Because they could have turned Jesus loose, and they were given the opportunity to do that. So they made a choice. You see, they can't blame it on God because we had a choice. We could have turned him loose, and that's why we read in verse 37 of Acts 2, they were pricked in their heart. They were cut to the quick when they realized that they'd killed the Prince of Peace. And Peter said, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Here's the answer. What must we do? Repent, be baptized. For the remission of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says they gladly received the word and they were baptized and the Lord added them to the saved. Which tells me when they did this, they weren't saved. But now that they are, because they've done what the Lord tells them to do or what the Holy Spirit says for them to do through Peter. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, the Judeans killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. They were guilty of killing prophets, obviously, but they killed Jesus. The Judeans did. That would be those in Jerusalem, the Jews. In John 19, verse 15, we read the specific of what they did. They cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Paul said, you want me to crucify your king? They said, we don't have any king but Caesar. They wouldn't recognize Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. So what is our conclusion? Well, it's not all these other things that we talked about are responsible, but who really murdered Jesus were the Jews. But why did they do that? They did it because of sin. Peter says in Acts 3 that I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. They didn't accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they that bear witness of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Listen, folks, they had a will. They could have come to the Lord. They decided not to. That's why Peter said, you by the hand of lawless men to crucify and slay. Yes, it was the plan of God. Yes, sin was involved. Yes, it was. Yes, Judas Iscariot sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But who literally killed Jesus? the Jews did. You know one of the reasons the Bible was written? And we talk about it being a history book. You know, the Old Testament, it's a history of things written for time, written for our learning, that through patience and comfort the Scriptures might have hope, Romans 15:4. But you want to know really, technically, why the Scriptures were written? Well, John tells us why. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, he says, "Truly Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book," he says, "but these are written." Why are the things written? "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You may have life in his name. Well, how are we going to have life? Well, Jesus tells us how. "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We can come to Jesus, not someone who committed suicide. We come to Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. He gave his life for us. He took our sins in his body on the tree. I want you to think about that. Think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we remember his death until he comes again. We don't forget that. The memorial is that Christ died for you and me. And that was God's purpose and that was his plan. Actually, it was the plan of Christ and the plan of the Holy Spirit. The Godhead's plan was to save mankind. When mankind sinned, God had a plan. He had a contingency, a plan to save mankind. And you can be a part of that fruition of that plan by obeying the gospel this morning, by repenting of your sins as a true believer, by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins so you can rise to walk in newness of life and being faithful till you die. And Jesus said, "I'll give you the crown of life." We don't want to kill Jesus again, do we? We don't want to crucify him again. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be guilty of that. So let's come to Jesus. Let's obey the gospel. Folks, let's go to heaven when we die. Isn't that really why you're here this morning? Because you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, let's make sure we do. And how does that happen? Well, through the cross. The way of the cross leads home. That's our song, number 341. I got it right this time, didn't I? 341. "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." And that's true. I don't want to miss heaven. Wouldn't it be terrible to go through this life and sit in church buildings like this every Sunday and maybe on Wednesday night when their gospel meetings, do all these kind of things, sing all these wonderful songs and all that, and not go to heaven? I don't want to miss that because I want to come to the cross. And what happened on the cross? Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood there, and his blood was shed for the remission of your sins. We're saved by his blood, Revelation 1, verse 5. "For the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home." So I'm going to bid farewell to this world, to walk in it nevermore. For the Lord says, "Come and I'll seek my home," where he waits at the open door. Jesus is waiting. "Come unto me, all that labor." Are you willing to do that this morning? As together.